Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, 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 and welcome to God's Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. My name is Apostle David Callender. I am your host, and Holy Spirit is our overseer. We are a Bible-believing ministry that is teaching, preaching, and reaching the lost souls of this sin-sick world for the kingdom of heaven in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is our Lord because he the one who went to the cross, who went to Calvary, who bare our sins in his body. He had no sin, but he took on our sin. Hallelujah. He died on that cross. He was nailed on that cross. He was pierced on that cross. He was crowned with thorns on that cross. They stripped his flesh like it was paper, just for your sins and my sins, for our sins. So we honor him each day here on Blog Talk Radio. We magnify his name. We glorify his name. We are not even worthy, but he, because of his shedding of his blood, we can come to the Father in his name and begin to give him praise, hallelujah, because he is worthy. He is worthy. All God is worthy. Sometimes you got to go through some things. You just got to go through some things to see how worthy, how awesome he is. And I tell you every day, I've just been through quadruple heart surgery. And not only that, they had to open the side of my neck to clean a carotid artery that was pretty much blocked up. I had 90% blockage in my arteries. And they had to take a vein out of my right leg in order to build the what they call the manifold on the heart, hallelujah, so blood could flow through. But the main thing was that artery going to my brain, that carotid artery. And the doctor says, Mr. Callender, I had to sign a release. He says, because there's a possibility that I'm going to be blind. It's a possibility that I'm going to have my whole left side is going to be paralyzed. But I told him not so, because my God would not let that happen to me. He has work for me to do. And I came out with the surgery, the two surgeries. There was one surgery, the neck first. And then from there, the other set of surgeries that does the heart, they had to come in right after the neck. So it was supposed to take 8.5 hours. But I tell you, in 6 hours, everything was finished. And I was in the ICU. Didn't even know I was there because, you know, I was under. But when I came from under, I realized I was in the ICU. Glory to God. Then the enemy still was trying. Let me tell you this. This is testimony I got to share every time I get a chance. The enemy was trying to try to infect my intestines while I was in the hospital. Two different infections. I would have been out the hospital a long time because God was healing me so awesome. And glory to God, so they had to put me on a medication that didn't agree with me, and it started to make me hallucinate. And I tried to leave the hospital, but I couldn't leave because I was so weak from all that took place. But glory to God, that we're able, took a week to flush the infirmity, that virus out of my intestines. I'm telling you something about what God is. God is just so awesome. Sometimes you all don't want to praise him. You got to wait till you get something happen. But I was praising before my artery was giving me trouble. I was about to catch a plane and a week or so to go back to Barbados. I just went there in June. But I was going back there to put an air conditioner for my sister. And on 31st of December, my chest began to squeeze together, and I feel like something was trying to burst my heart. I said, I can't go. I got to go to the hospital. Sunday morning, on the 1st, I was at Good Samaritan Hospital. They didn't have what they need to fix me, so they had to transfer me to St. Elizabeth Hospital. I tell you, when I got there, the doctor said, Rev, we got to work on you right now because your system is not going to last. It's not going to make it. I was 90% blockage. And we prayed. I said, I got to pray for you doctors and the nurses first before you do anything. Because if I go over, if I cross over, I know I'm crossing over to my Lord. And they said, okay, we prayed. They put the thing on my nose and my mouth, and I went under. And then I come from under. And I tell you, if you see me now, you wouldn't believe how big I was. I lost probably about 31 pounds since I came home. because they had pumped me with so much stuff. My feet and my hands, my thighs and my calves, even my head was bigger. You hear what I'm saying? I was swollen everywhere from the fluids inside of me. So they had to put me on a special medication to get the fluids out of my body. My feet now is normal and everything is normal. So I'm praising God. I'm glory. Because you all don't understand. You may not understand what I just been through. I was at death's door. And Jesus said, not so. Don't wait till something happens to you to praise him. Some people say they can't praise him because they don't have enough money. They can't praise him because their husband acted up. They can't praise him because their wife acted up. They can't praise him because their sons or daughters acted up. They can't praise him because they don't have a job. But I come to tell this morning, if you got life in your body and you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you can praise him. Even if you don't know him, that's a good thing to do. Call upon him. Call upon him in praise. Ask him to come into your heart. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Ask him to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you just seek him first, my God, oh God, seek him first, you will see what he would do for you. Hallelujah, glory to God. Don't wait. Don't seek him for stuff. Seek him to be your Savior. Seek him to be your deliverer. Seek him to be your Lord of lords and King of kings. Seek him to be your first and not your last. Seek him. Hallelujah, glory to God. So I just want to thank God this morning. I am excited about him. I'm excited about him and what he's doing inside my body. Hallelujah, glory to God. Because I know that soon as this is over, I will be traveling again. In the next few weeks, I'm ready to travel. And now my chest and everything healed. Fine on the outside, but the doctor tell me there's still a little bit more healing that has to take place on the inside. And I could tell the difference. I know the right side is fine, the left side still got a little bit that got to be healed. Because sometimes when I cough or sneeze or inhale or exhale, I can feel a little tingling pain on the left side. But we're thanking God. We're not complaining. We're thanking God because only my Lord and my Savior Jesus Christ, Yeshua, could do what he's doing in my body. Only he can do it. And the devil can't stop it. Hallelujah. Even the witches and the warlocks that come against me and they say, I hope he wants you, but they don't care. They're saying one thing in front of your face, but behind your back, they're saying something, but they can't stop me because I belong to Jesus Christ. I don't get it all perfect. I just want to thank you all that are praying for me all over the world. I just got messages from India, Pastor Gurish. He and all the churches that's with them, they've been praying for me. I mean, they've been praying for me. My God, once they understand that I had the blockage, everybody went to praying in Africa. Oh, my God. We got people praying in Brazil. We got people praying in Denmark and Amsterdam. We got people praying in the Caribbean, Barbados and Trinidad and St. Lucia and St. Kitts. We got people praying in Guyana. We got people praying in Canada, all over the United States. I was crying in the hospital. I was crying, crying, boo-hooing, because I couldn't believe that so many people loved me. I couldn't believe so many people loved me. But I had to go through this to see. The ones that was calling and concerning and worried about my health, I said, Lord, thank you for the people that you place in my life. They don't give me money, don't give me checks and all that stuff, but they give me praise. They send praise up to heaven, to the throne room for my soul. And I thank God for you all. Thank God for Pastor Houston, Creighton, and his church, Lincoln Church. Over there in Brockton, that they've been praying for me. And Deacon Marshall called me to see how I was doing. And he had a job for me, because some time to time he gives me little plumbing jobs or heating jobs or so, or air conditioning jobs. But I had to let him know that I had the surgery and that I was under the weather, but I'm coming from under the weather. Now I'm no longer under the weather. I just went on and did a job. And we back home. So we just thanking God. Can't do too many heavy jobs, but the small jobs we can do for the next 2-3 weeks, we'll be able to take on the heavy stuff, according to what the doctor says. But we're going to take our time. We just thank God. We're going to praise and worship God a little bit. And then we're going to talk about We are going to talk about the anointing oil of God. We are going to talk about that. So let us just worship God for a little bit. Let's just worship him for a little bit because of who he is. Let us worship him. Hallelujah. Because it's in the worship. It's in the worship that you would get your deliverance. When you worship him, in spite of, you will get your deliverance. Do you hear me this morning? Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Keeper, light in the darkness. That is who he is. It is what he does. Make a way where there seems to be no way. And Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for bringing us into this day that we have never seen before. And surely we will never, ever see this day again. But we thank you, God, because you did not leave us in darkness as we slept on last night. You brought us to the night into this marvelous day. Hallelujah. For that reason, O God, we are praising you. We are glorifying you, and we are exalting you, Lord Jesus. You said if you be lifted up from this world, this earth, you will draw men unto you. And you were lifted up on the cross at Calvary on a hill called Golgotha, the skull. And you are still drawing men unto you, even on today. So, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we bless your name. We pray for all those that are going through right now, those that are sick in their bodies. Lord, we pray even for Pastor Brown, that he continue to heal, even if he got those two new stents in his arteries. We know, God, that you are a healer. We know that you are a deliverer. We know that you are a restorer, Lord. We know that you are a supplier, O God. God, that you never leave us or forsake us. Lord, we ask you to bless the four corners of the earth today. Bless the north, the south, the east, and the west. Lord, bless the ministries, that the ministry will come. They will come to an understanding of just shutting down and reopening, O God, on the Sabbath day, O God, that they'll begin to honor you, Lord God, and keep the Sabbath day holy, Lord God, as you have commanded us. Lord, we pray today in the name of Jesus for every apostle, every prophet, every prophetess, every evangelist, every pastor, every teacher, for the deacons, the elders, O God, the ushers, God. We pray for all those, Lord. We pray for husbands and wives and children and teachers. And, O God, we pray for the doctors and nurses, O God, We pray for the police department, the fire department, oh God. We pray for the judges, congressmen, senators, oh God. We pray for the House of Representatives, oh God, the president, the vice president. Lord, we pray for the world tonight, today, Lord God, that you bring a clear, bring a clearer understanding of what love is, passion is, what mercy is, what grace is, oh God. Lord, as I was looking on last night, I see that there's so much hatred in the world. People don't even want to help one another. Glory to God. They don't want to help one another. Everybody's about their own way, their own path. Everybody's trying to make it for themselves. It's just me, my four, no more. But if we all would help each other, what a better world we would have. Today we want to talk about the anointing oil of Yahweh. That's what we want to talk about today, the anointing oil. See, the oil of God makes the difference. It makes the difference. The oil represents his presence, his power, and his glory. Hallelujah. When his presence comes, you can sense that the oil is there. When the oil comes, you can sense that his presence is there. You can sense that his power is there. I was talking to somebody yesterday for a long time, talked on the phone for a long time, and they're going through. But the Lord began to minister to me, to minister to them. And I was ministering to them just as though I was ministering to myself. And I began to tell the person, I said, you know, that when you're going through, someone is taking you through, they're doing things to you that are offensive. It's because this God's allowing it to happen because God is working on you. Don't get mad and want to hurt somebody and want to give up and want to give in and want to throw in the towel. No, God is working on you because where you are not prepared to go where he wants to take you. And God has to take us through some things in order to get us ready to go where he wants to take us. But most of the time, we don't want to go through. We don't want to face the things that God is facing us. And all we have to do, all we need to do is just sit back and let God. That's all it takes. Sit back and let God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So this morning we're going to talk about the anointing oil of Yahweh. Let's go to Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30. We can pull up a couple of verses here and then we'll go somewhere. And let's start at verses 22. Exodus chapter 30, 29. Let's go to 30. At verse 22 says, moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels of the sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels. After the shekel of the sanctuary, and of oil, olive, a hin, and thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an holy anointing oil. Now God gave Moses this layout, this plan, this schematic, this draft of how the oil must be made. He didn't say, Moses, just go down here and you can make some oil and bring it into the sanctuary. He tell Moses, this is how the oil must be made. This is what the oil must be made of. All of these different plants Moses must get to make this. But he's not getting it for free. Moses is paying for what God needs. A lot of times we are looking for somebody to give us something to do what God wants done. Remember when David was going to build the temple for God? And all these people wanted to give David the trees of fir and trees from Lebanon and all this stuff for Faith Davidson? No. I can't afford to build a house for God off of something that somebody gave me. He said, no, I'm going to pay for everything. I'm going to pay for the trees. I'm going to pay for the timber. I'm going to pay for everything. You know, a lot of time we don't want to. We're looking and we're trying to raise money to do whatever thing God wants. We don't want to put our labor. We don't want to put our, we don't want to give our sweat for what God wants done. So Moses is getting this stuff, all of these different herbs and stuff and all these different plants to build this herb, make this oil. This holy oil. Because it has to be holy. If it's going to be for God, it's going to have to be holy. This is why I can't understand why the churches can't just come together and shut down. Just say, look, we are going to make it. You know, we protest about everything. Why can't we just come and say, look, we're going to shut down. We're not going to have service on Sunday at all over the world. Come together. All these bishops and pastors and apostles and everybody that say they're serving God, just come together and say, look, we are in America. We in Canada. We in England. We in Europe. All over in Africa, we're going to shut down. We're not going to have service on Sunday. We're going to go back to Bible. And we're going to have service beginning on Friday evening at sundown. And we're going to have service. This is how they have service. All through Friday night, coming into Saturday, all day Saturday. Nobody works. It is holy unto the Lord. But they can't. They don't want to do that. Don't want to do that. But it said here, the Bible said that the oil, and thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment. An ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an holy anointing oil. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony. See that? See, everything that belongs to God must be anointed holy, with holy oil. You know, we run to the line, or whatever you want to call it, when the pastor, the bishop, the apostle, or whoever, the deacon, the elder, whoever is teaching, preaching that morning, say, well, we're going to make an altar call. And if you want to be touched by the Lord, if you want to be a touch from the Lord, come to the altar. And we all run to the altar because who don't want a touch? I know I need a touch. And we all run to the altar because we want to be them to put some olive oil onto us and speak a word of the Lord into our hearts, into our mind, into our soul. But after all that is done, guess what happened? We go back acting the same way, doing the same things. What's the point of rushing to the altar? If you're going to go back and act the same way, don't allow the Holy Spirit to change you, to envelop you in the things that God anointed you and prove you to be. Something is wrong with the picture. We cry, we snot, we do all that stuff. But we don't do what God called us to do. Here in this book of Exodus, he is talking about holiness, not just making an oil. This oil must be consecrated. This oil must be made in a way that God receives it. You know, we think that if we come to the church and we write a check to the pastor and we write a check to the bishop or the apostle and say, well, look, you know, today I made some money yesterday and I want to give some money on Sunday morning, Saturday afternoon, I want to give some money to the church. Because you make some money, and a lot of times you don't write the check because people are looking, because you want everybody to see that you are giving to the church. You're giving to the working of God. But does God receive it? Because your heart is not right. Your heart is not right. Hallelujah. And then you have folk that promise that they're going to bless the working of God, but they never do. They never do. You know, I've been out of work for some while, and even when I got out the hospital, I've been working because I can't afford to, you know. I still got a part of my body that's healing. The left side of my chest is still healing. The right side is pretty much healed. And me, outside is healed, but I'm talking about the inside. And because the doctor told me that, he said sometimes the muscles, the ligaments, the tendons, he said sometimes they take a little longer on the inside. That's why I can't lift up heavy stuff. I can still work. I can work now. I can do service work, but I can't lift nothing heavy. But I'm still giving, ever since I came out the hospital, I've been giving to the church. I've been giving, and I'm not boasting, but God make it a way that I still have a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit that I can give every week to the church. God told the Lord, if you give me 2 pennies, I'm going to give one. If you give me 2 pennies, God, I'm going to give one. Because I hear them old mothers say, the old mothers used to say, you don't care what you do, you can't be God-given. And I seen that for myself. Verse 27, let's jump on down here. The table of the bread of the presence, drink offerings and incense in the holy place. I read that out of the Locust Bible. He said in the King James Word, it says, and the table and all his vessels and the candlestick and his vessels and the altar of incense. Everything has to be anointed. Everything has to experience the presence of God. This is what the oil does. When you get the oil on you, you'll experience the presence of God. You got to know that. I get somebody come, the pastor pray over me and say, speak a word over me, and I'm excited, I'm jumping, I'm shouting. But I don't take to myself to know that it's the presence of God. Moses told God, he said, look, he said, if you show me your presence. Then he got so out of me, he told the Lord, he said, if your presence don't go before me, he said, I'm not going anywhere. It's in the book of Exodus. He said, I'm not going anywhere. So God said to Moses, he said, look, I told the lady yesterday. He told to Moses, he said, look, you can't see my presence. No one can see my face and live. He said, but look, Moses, you're my servant. I'm paraphrasing because I'm not looking at it. I just heard it in my spirit. He told Moses, he said, look, you know what, Moses? Because you're my servant, I'm going to put you on the cliff of the rock. And I'm going to pass before you. And I'm going to put my hand there so you don't see my face. But you will see my rear parts. Moses saw presence of the Lord. Moses now was ready to go and do whatever God said. He said, look, I'm not going if your presence don't go with me. You need God's presence. You need God's anointing to go with you. Let's go down a little further. The lampstands are the golden lampstands with 7 lamps. The book of Revelation talk about these 7 lampstands or the 7 churches in the holy place. Here he says, and the altar of burnt offerings with all its vessels and the lever and his feet. This is the bowl and the stand. He said, and thou shalt sanctify them that they may be most holy. Whatsoever touches them shall be holy. Do you know that when you go into the presence of the Lord and the Lord anoints you, you become holy unto the Lord? And everything that touches you after that particular moment becomes holy. Though you stay in that frame of mind, though you stay in that frame of mind of God having control over your mind, body, and soul, you are standing in his presence. That was Moses. We are standing in his presence. We are standing on holy ground. Hallelujah. So here, he said, thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. See, we forget and we don't even recognize that when we are going up there, we are ministering to the Lord first. We think, oh, God, it's about the congregation. We got 75 people. We got 200 people. We got 1,000 people. Somebody said some pastor, you know, some pastor got 45,000 people. So he got 3 services. And people are worshiping him instead of worshiping the God of their salvation. They're worshiping the pastor instead of worshiping God. You hear me? So what the pastor says, the bishop says, the apostle says, it's more important to them than what God is saying. What God is saying to us to do in his word. You see? It's not important to them anymore. Why? Because my bishop says so. My apostle says so. Look, those are my apostles say to me, my bishop say to me, I got to follow what my bishop, my apostle. This is what's happening today. This is why you see that so many bishops and apostles and prophets and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers can do all sorts of things in the church building and get away with it. They said, as long as a man come up there and say he repent, it's all right. Speaking words of repentance, but the action does not line up. See, because if I repent, I said, look, you know, I repent of my alcoholism. I repent of my dopeism. But then you hear that I'm down at the crack house with Johnny. I'm down there at the crack house with Mary and Harry and James and all them. And we all getting high down there. No, what did the repentance do? What did it do for me or do to God? See, I ain't ready to repent. I just set it up in my mouth and it sounds good. It sounds eloquent when I was speaking it in the congregation. I cry or weep or snot, but I didn't live repentance. Repentance is an action word, just like love is an action word. When you say that you are repent, you got to do something. A lot of people say they repent, but they didn't really repent. Somebody said, well, you judging? No, no, you're not judging. The Bible says you'll know them by their fruit. You will know them by their fruit. If they say they repent, you're going to see repentance. Their lifestyle is going to show. If they say they're saved and sanctified, you're going to know by the lifestyle. Their lifestyle is going to show you that they have given their life to Christ Jesus. That's what the lifestyle is going to tell you. Here, let's go back in there. Jesus, he says, hallelujah. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, verse 31, saying, thou shalt be an holy anointing. This shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generation. Now, God said, look, this oil that I am calling Moses to put together, it's got to be a holy anointing oil unto me throughout all generations. This is not something that you play with. People think it's a joke when they got a little olive oil up there that they consecrate or pray over. And they're throwing it over the crowd and all that stuff and playing games. You see, the pastor take the oil and throw the oil across the congregation. Oil is sanctified, holy. This is not an oil for you to put on a show with. This is holy. Hallelujah. I'm talking to pastor in Rhode Island sent me a message yesterday. And he was talking about my life. I said, I understand what God is doing. Because I've been there. I understand what he's doing. A lot of people go into the surgery that I've been in too and didn't make it out. Didn't make it out. And we know because we were just there. We saw some people cross over. Didn't make it out. So I know what God is doing. He just girded me up to do what he called me to do. Notice what he says. Verse 32 says, King James Version of Exodus chapter 30. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall you make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. See, the oil of God is so special. You can't play with it. Listen to what he told Moses. Don't pour it on any man's flesh. Oh, some people come in the house and they just come and they all messed up, jacked up. You want to pour the oil on them. They haven't repented. They haven't given their life to Christ yet. But you just, let me just anoint. I just need, feel like I got to anoint you. No. This is holy oil. The Bible says you don't give our pearls to swines. You understand what I'm saying? This is holy oil. You got to get them to a place where they understand that Jesus paid the ultimate price at Calvary. He gave his life so that we would have life and have it more abundantly. But how are you going to have abundant life when you are not ready, when you are not prepared to surrender, when you are not prepared to commit unto him? Because you must submit, commit, and surrender. Bishop James Watson said that. People don't want to submit. He says, listen to what he says. Whosoever compoundeth any like it or make something or all like what God has commanded Moses to make, or whosoever put any of it upon a stranger shall even be cut off from his people. Do you hear? Do you see how serious and how important this oil is? We take anointing oil for granted. I was pastor just taking up the oil and putting on everybody. Not even thinking. Because they say, go to Exodus 27. I'm called to do this. Man, look. Ask the Lord. Exodus, in the Logos Bible, this thing is so powerful. Here, back to chapter 30. The golden lampstands were seven lamps in the holy place. Altar of incense, the small altar station in front of the veil leading to the most holy place, where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. He says, the altar of burnt offerings, main sacrificial altar in the courtyard of the tabernacle. The Hebrew word used here, kodesh, means to set something or someone apart for sacred use. When God called us, God has set us apart for holy use. Sometimes we don't operate in that holy mindset, because things are not operating, things are not working for us. The job is acting up. The wife is acting up. The husband is acting up. The children is acting up. The neighborhood is acting up. It seems like everything, all hell is breaking loose after us. We can't get a good day. That's the way we feel. I can't get something good happening for me. You understand? Because why? We're not relying on God. What's happening, Minister Jones? We are relying on self. We are relying on self to do things in our own self, in our power. Hallelujah. Our own thinking, we're trying to do things that way. Not we trusting God. I tell you, when I was in the hospital, Minister Jones, I had to trust God. I had to trust him. My family came in there and they cried like babies. And I begged them not to cry. And I told them, I'm not afraid. If this is how I got to go, if he's going to call me home, don't be afraid. I'm not perfect. But I know I love him and he loves me. And I try to do the best of what he gave me to work with. So I'm prepared to go. Just stop crying. Don't cry for me. Cry for yourself. You still be in this world. This world of torment, temptation. But I was leaving it. But God said, not so. He said, not so. I tell you, my man, every time I think about it, I share about it this morning. They give me some medicine. I'm not allergic to any type of medicine. But they gave me some medicine, Minister Jones, that drive me crazy. I was like a madman. I wouldn't lie to you. I started seeing things that one day. I reached out to touch my dog. The dog, my granddaughter's dog, was right sitting there at the side of the bed. Sitting there the way she sits in the house. And I reached out, I said, come here, Meadows. And when I reached out to get it, it disappeared. I started trying to get down to bed, but I didn't have that much strength. Debbie, on 8 nurses had to come and put me back in the bed. You hear what I'm telling you? that medicine it was supposed to stop the pain. And I've already told him I didn't need no painkiller. You know, I didn't need no narcotics because, you know, my past life is an addicted behavior. I got addicted behavior. I said, if you're going to give me something, give me a Tylenol or something, Ma. Well, they had to remove that powerful message. So, you know, medicine. So, you know, my body was, oh, Lord, have mercy. My body was in some pain. And I told him, I said, you sure you don't want oxycodone? I said, no. I said, because if I take that oxycodone, I'm going to be back to the races where God delivered me from. So they gave me extra strength Tylenol. And I didn't take it. I take it like every 4 or 5 hours, 6 hours, something like that. I didn't try to hog that stuff. Now you got to understand, know who you are in Christ Jesus, what you have, the power, the authority that God has given to you. Trust him. Here in Exodus 27, and verses 20 and 21. Look at what it, and we're coming up with the King James Version. Listen to what he says. And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring the pure oil, olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always. Now you, God always make a clear request. God does not stammer. Understand? He does not hold back his words. He wants that which is pure. No contamination. We can't come to God any old way. That's why we repent. We ask God forgiveness before we come in here to pray and seek his face. We ask God to forgive us. Why? Because our forgiveness makes us acceptable to the Father. It makes us acceptable. We can ask the Father anything in his name. Hallelujah. So he said, bring pure. Listen to what he says. He didn't say, let's go to any olive tree and put, my mom used to grow these trees when I was back in the country, when she was alive. It has a little green thing, little green olive. And when you squeeze it, you have to really squeeze it though. When you squeeze it, they call press, the olive oil will start to seep out of it. You had to press a whole lot of them to get a little bit of olive oil, to get a teaspoon of olive oil. You had to press a whole lot of them. So he said, Lord Jesus, oh my Lord. He says, and thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring the pure olive beaten for the light to cause the lamp to burn always. You see the oil, this oil doesn't burn like kerosene. It doesn't burn like gasoline. It doesn't burn like diesel. It's a slow burning oil. Do you hear me? And you put a little bit in the glass flask for the lamp, which had a wick. And that one little bit, not even a quarter gallon, will burn for days. You had a glass chimney. It would burn for days. Then what God said, it burned always. In the tabernacle of congregation, without the veil, which is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall order it from evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever unto their generations on the behalf of the children of Israel. See? They must arrange this, these lamps to burn. And this must be told to the children from generation to generation. This is what must happen in the house of the Lord. The light must never go out. Go to Exodus. Go to 1 Samuel. Yes, 1 Samuel chapter 16. We must know the light. Let me say to you all that's on the line today, we try not to keep you all too long. I just want to get a word on here, as I told the Lord this morning. But sometimes I'm not going to be too long. I thought that I'm now. But The light is not on the, it's not on the candlestick anymore, or the candlestand. The light is inside of you. The light of God is inside of you and I. And we have to allow this light to burn continuously. The enemy did not want the light that's inside of you or inside of me or inside of us to burn. This is why he brings all sorts of distraction. I'm watching on the news. I'm watching on YouTube. Men is killing their wives. Wives are killing their husbands. I'm seeing this on YouTube. In all of these different cities in the United States, don't even think outside the box and think in Africa, India, China. Right here in all states. You have men killing their wives and children, sons and daughters. I mean, the son that you thank God for, say, Lord, I just thank you for this little boy. Thank you for this little girl. Blessed the seed of your wife's womb. And then as soon as the child gets a little way up, grown, you allow the devil to come into your mind and cause you to take your little son or little daughter's life. And the woman that you were kissing and romancing and having sexual intercourse with, now you kill her. I told him on Sunday in the church, I said, when we meet a woman, we says, we get married, we says, I will. And we say, I do. But a little way down the road, a little time, couple months, a year or something, we say, I don't. We say, I don't. I don't love you. And then we say, I won't. I won't be with you anymore. But when we first go to the altar, to the justice of peace, we say, I will, I won't. I will, and I do. But all of a sudden, just a little couple of days or months pass, and that do turns to I don't. That will turn to I won't. Why? Because we allow the enemy. We allow the enemy to come in and take control. But I told the person Sunday, I said, now you, God, the Lord Jesus has to be in control of your marriage all the time, continuously. Just as he told Moses and Aaron, the light has to burn continuously. He has to be continuously the light of your marriage. Somebody say he's the glue that holds your marriage together. Well, he got to be the glue and the strong glue. Anytime that you do not let him be the glue, your marriage is in trouble. One person was telling me, look, you know, I thought that marriage was easy. No, my friend, it's not easy. Jesus is married to the church, and it's not easy. He gave his life for the church. The church is his bride. He is the bridegroom. And he still have problems with the bride. And he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You think your marriage is going to be easy? You think you're going to have it easy? No, you need the anointing oil of Yahweh over your marriage. That's what you need. That's what's going to cause your marriage to survive. That's why when your wife says something, you're going to say, look, I'm not going to respond to that. I understand it's the devil. You don't tell her that, though, but in your head, in your mind, in your spirit, man, you say, no, that's not my wife talking. That's the enemy that's trying to bring disturbance in my mind. No, that's not my husband talking. That's Satan, his agents, that are talking to bring disturbance in my marriage. You got to be able to see. You got to be able to hear. And here in 1 Samuel chapter verse 1 says, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thy horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Do you hear what God says? He called his prophet, the greatest prophet that ever walked the earth, he called Samuel. And he asked Samuel, how long will thou mourn over Saul? Saul was the first king over Israel. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee, or heifer. And said, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice. And I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto you. You're not going to anoint anybody. You're going to anoint who the Lord will point out to you. The Lord not only going to point out, but Lord going to tell you his name. Tell you her name. God going to tell you. This is where we got to be listening. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He says, and Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, comest thou peacefully? See, when Jesse come to town, when Samuel come to town, people used to get nervous because he was a powerful man of God. And when he called, things will happen. He heard God, and God heard him. Because he lived for God. Do you know that if we make a decision truly to live for God, we'll hear from God? You'll begin to speak things into manifestation. Because you have made a decision that you're going to live clean, holy, and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You will do this because you realize that you have truly given your life unto God. You know, most preachers don't. Preachers cuss like drunken sailors. I hate to tell you the truth. Your favorite preacher cuss like a drunken sailor. You know how I know? Because I used to. Until God take control of my tongue, until I gave him control of my tongue, I had to cuss like a drunken sailor, especially when things didn't go my way. Get honest with yourself. Even sometime in your home, when your wife says something that you don't like, you will say the F word, the G word, the GD word. You will say it. Because you figuring that nobody outside the house can hear you. And you would say the GD word, the F word, you know. But you'll go to church Sunday and you'll have a testimony. You hear me? You'll want to testify. You'll want to glorify God without even going down to the floor at the altar in repentance, knowing that your mouth is filthy. Knowing that the words that came off of your tongue contaminate your spirit. A lady told me yesterday, I was talking to somebody yesterday, and a lady said to me, she says, Apostle, I don't even know how to pray. This is a praying somebody. Listen to me, Minister Jones. This is a praying woman. And the woman told me yesterday, she said, Apostle, I don't pray anymore. She says, I don't even know how to go before the Lord. Because the enemy has attacked her at the root of who she is. At the root of what she wanted, the enemy has attacked her right there. Do you hear me? The enemy has attacked her in her relationship, in her family. And words that come forth to the family causes her to cuss. This is a preaching woman. Here in the book of 1 Samuel, he says, this is the word of God. I didn't plan to give so much of this book, but the Lord just holding us right here by the Spirit. And you have to go where the Lord's leading you. Okay? They asked Samuel if he came here peacefully. And he said peacefully, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves or set yourself apart and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, set them apart, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord anointed is before thee. Now see, here Samuel ought to be calling on the Lord. He ought to be asking the Lord, you know, Lord, is this the one that you want me to anoint? But Samuel, he's a prophet, one of the greatest prophets that ever walked through Israel. But he is in his flesh. We go from spirit to flesh, from flesh to spirit. We do. You see something, but you haven't seen nothing. You say you hear something, but you don't hear nothing because you're in your flesh. But Samuel says, surely. He said to Eliab, surely the Lord's anointing is before him, you know, he's right before him. And the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance. Don't look at his appearance. He looked clean. He looked righteous. He looked holy, but he not the one. No, sometimes we're looking at some of these bishops and some of these apostles and some of these prophets and prophets and some of these pastors, evangelists, and so on, and we look at them like they're so holy and so pious. But truth be told, they're not holy. They're not anointed. They're not pious. They just have the look. This is why God, in the time that we're living, you ought to praise God for the time that we're living, that God is exposing all of them. They're coming down like flies. They're falling like flies. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because that fake thing that they've been putting up, to have the Midas on the head, they got the apostle staff in their hand, they have the bishop staff in their hand, and they look the part. But truly, there's no anointing. The glory of God is not with them. The anointing oil of Yahweh is not with them. And did what he said. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as him as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shema to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, hear all thy children. And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. We can do all the choosing we want to do. But if God has not chosen that vessel, you're just wasting time. God told Moses to call Aaron and his sons, anoint them for the priest, the ministry of priesthood, to come and minister to him first. You got to understand your ministry is to God first. You're anointed to minister to God first. Your lifestyle is your ministry. We want to think, well, it's, I'm a Baptist, I'm an apostolic, I'm a Pentecostal, and all this stuff you call yourself. And you can't wait to get to the building to show off who you are with your priest calling, all that stuff, all this stuff. You forget that you're called to minister to the Lord, but you're trying to get to the building to minister to the people. See, because you're trying to please the people. We're talking about the anointing oil of Yahweh today. Moses told him, if you don't show me your glory, I'm not going. Can you imagine how bold Moses was to talk to God like that? If you don't show me your glory, if you don't show me, if you don't go with me, if you don't go before me, I'm not going anywhere, Lord. I got to see the glory, and they got to go before me. We just want to get it together and go. We're not asking for God's presence. We're not requesting his presence because we think we got it together. We know how to put all the scripture together. We know how to put all the sermons together. We know how to parlay the scriptures, but we don't know how to live the scriptures. Them doctors look at me in the hospital. I got to give God the glory all the time. They look at me in the hospital and hear the boldness that I was speaking with. And the doctor told my wife, he told her, he said, look, your husband is stoic. I didn't even know the word. Because I tell you, I don't know a lot of words like some of the people that went to college and stuff. We never was able to go to college because my family was poor. So Nancy told me what the word meant. But then I got home and I went into my dictionary and the computer and looked it up. And the doctor was saying to Nancy, he said, your husband has such faith and no fear. He says, even when things was bad for your husband, because I told you all, I had two intestinal infections I got in the hospital. And they had to put me on some strong medication to kill the virus that was trying to take me out from inside. The heart surgery didn't do nothing. So the devil come back and put a virus inside my intestines. You understand? So they had to put me on this medication to kill the virus. Two of them. You hear? And every time they come and say, how you feel? I say, I'm good. I'm all right. I'm all right. And I was saying it because I was speaking in faith. I had all kind of pain in my stomach. I said, and the doctor says, man, your husband is so full of faith. He said, even when he ought to be falling apart, he was still strong. He's stoic. That's what he says. You got to know who you are and whose you are. And you got to know that leaving here doesn't mean that you're gone. Do you understand? Leaving here doesn't mean that that's the end, that you're gone. Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children. Now, verse 12 says, and he sent and brought in. Now he was ruddy and with all of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him. You hear that? The Lord said to Samuel, arise. Now, David, when he came in from the field, he didn't have no three-piece suit on. He didn't have no double-breasted on. He didn't have no robe on. He didn't have no, well, he had a sheep staff, a shepherd staff, because he used the staff. I could see him having the staff in his hand he used to keep off the wolves and all the stuff that come to take the sheep. Because the Bible said he'd kill a bear and he'd kill a lamb. We were trying to kill. David had a stick. But he didn't have all of this fancy stuff. Like the other brothers that was in the house that had a clean cut haircut, and they were dressed nice and they were well shaven stuff, but they were not the one that God wanted. You see, they were mama's boys, they were daddy's boys inside the house. But David was God's chosen vessel in the field. Sometimes we're looking at these folk and we put them on pedestal. Look at these bishops and apostles that are falling just like ants coming up over the ants hill. They're falling. Why? Because we put them on pedestals. We, the children of God, put them on pedestals. We go and give our last money to them and the church that is feeding you every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Tuesday, you wouldn't give a penny to. But you take your last dollar and go give to them. Make them super rich. They're driving the best vehicles. They live in the best neighborhoods. They got yachts. They got planes. And then you talk about Bishop so-and-so got two planes. This body got three planes, got his own airport, all that stuff. You the one who did it. Here he says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. No, see? When the Spirit come, nobody can stop it. When the true anointing come upon you, when you put the oil of God, the true oil of Yahweh, the oil that is consecrated. Remember we talked about the consecrating of the oil? Remember we talked about that in chapter 30? When the oil is consecrated by God, the Spirit of God is ready to use for the kingdom. We're not pouring the oil all over the, spreading the oil all over the congregation like we some Superman or magician. The servant of God is right there before the man of God. He said, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. You see, God had already told Samuel that he had rejected Saul. Because Saul was disobedient. And a lot of us are disobedient to God's word, even in the church building that would not keep the Sabbath day. And don't tell them about it. They say, what's the difference Saturday or Sunday? There is a difference. Because God requires it to be holy unto him. He said, rest on the Sabbath day and keep it holy. It's unto him. Let me go to Exodus chapter 20. Let's read it to you. Exodus 20. They just follow me. Look who he says. Let the name of the Lord be glorified. That God, he says, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. This day is supposed to be kept holy unto the Lord. Not unto the bishop. Not unto the apostle, but unto the Lord. Glory to God. We ought to live that life that glorifies the Lord. Go to Psalm, let's go to Numbers 6. Let me see if I've been there. Numbers 6, and yeah, tomorrow we're not going to be here, I want you to know. If the Lord say the same, we'll come back on Friday. Tomorrow I have to be at another doctor's office tomorrow to get report from the doctor. Numbers chapter 6. And let's look at verse 15. And a basket of unleavened bread, cakes of fine flour mingled with oil, and wafers of unleavened bread anointed with oil, and the meat offerings, and their drink offerings. And the priest shall bring them before the Lord, and shall offer his sin offerings and his burnt offerings. And he shall offer the ram for a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord with the basket of unleavened bread. And the priest shall offer also his meat offerings, excuse me, and his drink offerings. See, we know the times, Mr. Jones, we come before the Lord anyhow. We come in anyhow. But you see how they came? They came with a meat offering, a drink offering, a wave offering, a sin offering. They came with offerings because they know that they were not perfect. They know they had problems. Today you watch these preachers coming. I watch them. I tell you the truth. I watch them. I love preachers. But I watch them. The one that play the highfalutin. They got somebody carrying their Bible and their computer. They got somebody bringing water or juice. Somebody got to make sure the seat is perfect. The altar has to be set with the Bible there on the altar there. Everything got to set for them. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because they're superstars. They're superstars. You go back and you read Jesus' ministry, and nobody would count his stuff. He was going everywhere and preaching and teaching. And going places that nobody expect him to go. And ministering to people that nobody expect him to minister to. Sometimes they even say, if he knew what kind of woman this woman was, man, if he knew what kind of people this, he wouldn't have. But he know what everybody are. He know everything about us. Before anybody give him any kind of honor, he know because he's God. But the Bible said he came to seek and to save that which the Lord. We act like Jesus don't know. Psalm 45. He knows all. And if we start acting like him, we'll find that people will get saved. But we are too puffed up. You understand? We got it all together. This is why you watch. I told you all early last year, that how many leaders going to fall this year. And they're falling. They're being exposed. Hallelujah. Pride go before the fall. They're being exposed. Hallelujah. The church membership is falling. Hallelujah. Their character is falling. Understand? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because God only going to let you go so far with that foolishness. You remember Bishop Long? Oh, he was highfalutin. Dressed with nice gold and all this stuff and diamonds and stuff. The nice fancy suits. Driving the fancy Rolls Royce and all this stuff. He was nice. Know how to preach. But living a double standard. And think that God is somewhere on a safari or he is on a carnival trip. God is watching each and every one of us. He's watching you and he's watching me. We're not exempt. This is why we got to examine our own selves. That's what he says. Don't partake of Holy Communion and don't examine yourself. You may be partaking of damnation to your soul. We want to just go on in. Because why? We know some scriptures. We went to school of theology. We have a PhD. We got an MA, BA. We know how to do this thing. We have studied for a long time, 30, 40, 50 years. But we ain't living this stuff. Psalm 45 and verse 7. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Jesus is anointed above all. Above all. We just want to just play church, man. I said last night, as I was studying, I'd rather go to heaven broke than to go into hell a millionaire and can't spend a dime. I saw that last night while I was studying. Because, see, we got to a place that all we focus on can money. Go to Psalm 11. All we focus on is getting more. All we focus. Verse 7. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Are you upright today? Are you living an upright life before God? Because he said if you love him and you walk upright before him, no good thing. No good thing will befall from us. What happened with us is that we do more complaining than living. And what God wants from us is for us to praise him in the midst of the storm. This is what he wants from us, for you and I, to praise him in the midst of the storm. Don't wait till the storm gone. My family can tell that I was in the hospital going through, and I was praising God. Praising him like he's no tomorrow. We weren't sure we was coming out. We felt it, but we weren't sure. Only body sure if we was coming out was God. It's God. Praising him. Don't wait till you become a millionaire to praise God. Praise him while you got $2. While you got 2 pennies. Praise him. Lord, I just thank you for the abundance of all that I hope to have. Thank you for it in advance before I get it, Lord. Thank you for the healing right now, God. Lord, thank you for healing my body, healing my mind, healing my spirit. Thank you for healing my marriage. Thank you for healing my son, healing my daughters, Lord. Thank you for healing that one that's under all types of pressure right now, mentally, physically, and spiritually. Lord, I thank you right now. Glory to God. Begin to thank him while you're waiting. Don't complain and criticize him. Why, God, why this is happening? Psalm 33 and 2. Praise the Lord with, sing unto him with the psaltery and instruments of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new sound. Pray skillfully with your loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. See, we look around and we see all of this killing, all of this maiming, all of this stuff going on. And all we do is go, well, why is the Lord this and why is the Lord that? No, God, no, all this stuff is happening. But why all this stuff is happening, you, the sons and daughters of God, have to praise God. God, I just thank you. Lord, I just thank you because you're still God. You're on the throne. You're still ruling reign. All the stuff that's happening now, don't stop God from reigning. He is still God. He's still the Messiah. He's still the great high priest. He's still the lily of the valley. He's still the early morning star. Hallelujah. He's still the land of the tribe of Judah. He's still God all by himself. This stuff don't change him. People stabbing one another on the train. People fighting on the plane. They said they had a fight on Northwest Airline yesterday. People drunken, people drinking. They sell the alcohol on the plane. They wonder why people fight. Do you know when people go to a bar and they drink? No, they come in there. They're laughing. They smell good in the bar. Sure, they drink 2 or 3 drinks. They want to fight. They think they're Superman. What do you think they're going to happen when they're up in the air on an airplane? And you let them keep buying them alcohol, them little small bottles, that little Jimmy. And you think they're going to act same? They're crazy people in the air. And they're fighting. They're fighting in the air. That happened yesterday, a day before. We got to stop this stuff, man. We got to pray for safety in the air, safety on the train line, safety in the plane, safety on the yachts, safety on the highways. We got to pray for all this stuff. Do you hear me? We got to pray for all this stuff. No, Psalm 2 and 2. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointing, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. And the Lord shall have them in derision. He going to make them, confuse them. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Let me tell you something. God is seeing everything, people of God. They want to talk bad about your God, my God, our God. And they want to mess with us because we are standing, you know what I said? We are standing flat-footed in spite of all the stuff that's happening to us and with us. We're standing flat-footed in Christ Jesus, and they're coming against us. Go to Psalm 23. Listen to what David says. Hallelujah, Jesus. You just need the word of God. Verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. See, I want you to know that in spite of what's going on, the God that we serve is preparing a table before us. In the presence of our enemies, not in their absence, but in their presence. They must know that we belong to him. Hallelujah. They must know that we belong to him. Go to Psalm 92. They must know that we belong to him. We are sitting around playing church. We're sitting around playing church when God called us to be this. But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Do you hear me? He wants us to know who we are and whose we are. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Do you want fresh oil today? Or the old oil is sufficient for you? I want fresh oil. I've been praying for fresh oil. All of us. All of us should be praying for fresh oil. Yesterday, oil was good. This morning, oil was good, but I want fresh oil. Hallelujah. Let's go to Luke. Luke chapter 7. We'll jump around here. See what we come up with. It's a few more scriptures I want to give you all, and then I'm going to pray and get over here. Hallelujah. My sinuses are acting up right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. But we're thanking God for healing, deliverance, restoration. We are thanking God. Pray for Pastor Brown. Keep him in your prayer. I just got a flash on my computer. Something about Deacon Fraser. I got to go back and look it up and see what he's calling for. I can't see it so fast. Luke chapter 7. Let's go down to... Let's read at 44. And Jesus is at one of these high anointed people. These people that think they're all that. You know, Pharisee's house. You know, and then here he says, and he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? Now, we know the woman. You know, she wasn't one of these women that you want to touch you. But Jesus didn't matter. Because remember, we told you earlier that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And Jesus says, seest thou this woman? I enter into thine house. Thou givest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou givest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint. But this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. You see, Jesus knew who she was, what she had done. He knew everything about you and I. We can't put on a facade, a play a game before God. God knows everything about us. Why are we taking so long to repent? Why are we taking so long to submit and commit to God? Why are we taking so long to turn from our sinful attitudes, our sinful thoughts? Some of us say, well, I haven't done anything, but you thought it. They say, yeah, why? That's what Jesus told the disciples. He said, if you even think about having sex with a woman, you ever think about having sex with her, undressing her, you already had it. And what we do, we said, I seen her at the mall. She looked fine. But all the time she was walking and she was moving her hips and stuff, walking so craftily. You was imagining what it would be like to be, to have her in the bed. Well, you already done. Go to Isaiah 61. Jesus knows everything. So we put other people down on the ground and step on them. We step on them. We say, well, you know what? I'm not like Brother John. Brother John do this. But your mind is all messed up. Your mind is filthy. And God says to examine yourself. Look at yourself first. See where you're wrong. And one of the places he said to examine yourself is in your mind. Look what he says. Oh, my God. This is what God says. God does not play. He's an awesome God. He says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. He's talking about dead. Die. Many die. Last scripture. Psalms, Isaiah 61 and 3. We got about five more scriptures, but we're going to stop here. Isaiah 61 and 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for the mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that there might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. This is why God has anointed us. He has anointed us so that we will be glorified through him. He will be glorified through us. Excuse me. He anointed us, appointed us, and approved us so that he will be glorified. Remember, he said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Let's do this thing here fast and see what we do. Let me read from my pamphlet. Your soul is immortal. It will never die. But as it separates from your body, there are two possible destinations for it. Heaven, eternity with God, everlasting happiness, or eternity without God, everlasting suffering. There is only one person in this world with the ability to choose where you are going to live eternally. You may say that person is God, but God says in his word, the Bible, that that person is you. Only you can choose or determine the eternal destination of your soul. You may, if you wish, choose heaven now. But if you think you can leave this matter for another time, the choice of eternity without God will have been chosen for you if you die right now. This is where you will go forevermore. If you do not die now, you will still be walking towards eternity without God. Certainly you would prefer to go to heaven, and to be sure that you will enjoy heaven, this is what you must do. Remember, you must recognize that you are a sinner. God said in his word, the Bible, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and 23. In Romans 6, 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We must know this. Number two, you must recognize that you cannot go to heaven by your own efforts. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Number three, believe only Jesus Christ can take you to heaven. Jesus says in John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except through me. Jesus did not say he was one of the ways. Except Jesus Christ, as your only Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Acts 16 and 31. Some may say, I am still young and I can leave this matter for later. I would like to say two things. Number one, you do not need to be old to be near eternity or near death. Number two, the prophecies of the Bible say that Jesus will return again. And these prophecies are being fulfilled in our days. How will your life be on that day? Think about it. Because the only way to reach this blessing is through Jesus. And Revelation 22 and 7 says, Jesus said, behold, I am coming quickly. He did not say he was coming quick. He said, I'm coming quickly. That means quicker than quick. If you decide not to choose heaven, know that you are walking towards eternity without God, under God's wrath. He who does not believe the Son, Jesus, the wrath of God abides on him, Jesus. Abides on him. John 3, 36b. And Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, 11 says that if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the mouth man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth and with the heart confession is made unto salvation. With the mouth. Jesus. The Bible says that whosoever believeth on him should not be put to shame, should not be shamed. Let me read that again. I feel the Holy Ghost tell me, look at it. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. You shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scriptures say, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. The Bible says this, God so loved the world that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God wants us to be saved. And he said, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. Hallelujah. Men love darkness rather than light. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, take this opportunity right now to say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Say out of your mouth, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And Lord Jesus, I need you to come into my heart, into my mind, into my soul, and take complete control of my mind, body, and soul. Lord, I denounce Satan and all of his agents and the world system. And I come to you just as I am, asking for forgiveness, asking for mercy, and asking for grace. I know, God, that you are able to forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So today, Lord Jesus, my heart is open, inviting you to come in. Be the Lord of my life. Be my Savior and my soon coming King. If you have just said that prayer that I believe the Holy Spirit has given to me, you have just received the gift of salvation. Get a Bible and begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts, so you get a gospel understanding of this Jesus that we teach and preach about every single day here on Block Talk Radio. Invite the Holy Spirit in your life. He's the one who teaches. He's the one who preaches. But invite him in your life. You know, and as you invite him in your life, allow him to take control. You hear me? Allow him to take control of your life. And as you allow him to take control, he will lead you and he will guide you into all truth. This is what the Holy Spirit does. Now call up your pastor that you may know to baptize and know how to baptize him. In Jesus' name. And tell the pastor, say, look, I received the gift of salvation, and I want to be baptized in Jesus' name. And before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers. Invite them all, because you want witnesses to the greatest time of your life, the greatest occasion of your life. You remember when we used to go to the club, and we used to invite everybody. We want everybody to go to the club with us. Matter of fact, you want Harry and James and John, everybody to go to the club with you. But it's the same way now. This is much better, because you have given your life to Jesus as Lord and Savior. And you want witnesses to see what the Lord has done, what the Lord is doing in your life. Hallelujah. You want witnesses. Glory to God. And we call it a liquid grave, that you're going down into this liquid grave. And this liquid grave is where you're making an open declaration, proclamation, that you have given your life completely over to Jesus. Your life no longer belongs to you. You're going in there. And when you come up, you're coming up in the righteousness of who Jesus said you are. Hallelujah. Find a church. Look for a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel, and get yourself involved in ministry. That means that you do something. You may not know how to preach. You may not know how to teach, but you can clean the bathroom. You can take the vacuum, run the vacuum through the sanctuary. You can clean the altar. You can pick up trash around the building. All that's ministry. I started out cleaning the bathroom in the church building. And as they see my work, they promoted me. Hallelujah. So get yourself involved. But either way, get yourself connected. Don't be a spectator. Be a participator. We thank God for each and every one of you. We pray, God, that God bless Brother Robert. We pray for God's protection over his life. We pray that God heal him, deliver him, and restore him. We pray that God do works, mighty works in him, and that God show himself real to this man, that God will show himself real, that doesn't matter what come against him, that he will be victorious, and that he know without a shadow of doubt that he is victorious in Christ Jesus. Because the Lord did not bring us this far to leave us. You know, he didn't bring us this far to leave us, and he didn't bring us out of darkness to us, to the light, for us to fall back in the darkness. This God that we serve is an awesome, mighty God. So we thank God. We thank God and praise God. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Now, Father, we ask that you bless us in the city, bless us in the field, bless us when we come, and bless us when we go. We pray, Father, that you continue to make us the head and not the tail, that you set us above and not beneath, that you will make us the lenders and not the borrowers. We are praying today in the name of Jesus for a supernatural move, the greater one. Oh God, we ask you to move on our behalf. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Now, Father, bless us so that we can be a blessing to those that are less fortunate than us, that we can bless the fatherless, the motherless, the homeless, the widows, oh, the single mothers, oh God, in the orphan thought. We pray now, God, as we leave this line, but never your presence, that your grace will go before, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit will continue to go with us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. It may be the word that you speak today in somebody's ear gate that would make all the difference in their lives. May it stop someone from committing suicide. Stop someone from committing murder, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5,
verse 16, and let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. That just means that all the characteristics of Jesus must be seen in our lives, or his love, his mercy, his grace, his compassion, his willingness to forgive must be seen in our life. God bless you all. I love you all. And I hope to see you on Friday. It's tomorrow. We'll be at the hospital to get the report from this other doctor. God bless you all. God bless you. Bye-bye.